All right, welcome back to Sports Central. A huge basketball game for the Penn State men tonight, 7 o'clock at Michigan State. If Penn State can win that game, get back within two games of 500 in the Big Ten, they're right there on the bubble already. Probably need to finish within two games of 500, 8-10 to get into the tournament. Joel Odnoski from the PA Sports Network joins us right now to talk some PSU hoops. What's going on today, Joe? How you doing?
What's up, Corey? How are you, my man?
You know what? Penn State's got a real good shot in this game. How many times over the years has Penn State had a real good shot in East Lansing?
Well, they do. You know, historically, have always had that one win, a head-scratcher. I don't know how frequently it's on the road, but, you know, even when they were really bad, even under DeChellis, they had several wins that they did not earn.
Yeah, one was against Michigan State, I remember with that. And then they beat Michigan that one time when they were like 0-10 in the league or something. I mean, you're right. They'll pull out something crazy every now and then.
But, you know, I don't know when the last time they'd gone into East Lansing with Sparty losing four in a row.
Yeah.
Or I should say losing four out of the last five. I guess they did beat Nebraska. Yeah. But, you know, they're not very good. And that's the odd thing. I wonder when – you know, Michigan still is a 4-point favorite, but for Michigan State, I should say, still a 4-point favorite. But I think that speaks volumes.
You know, it's interesting because right as of today, Joe Lunardi updates his bracketology every day. As of a couple days ago, Penn State was number 69, the first team out of the field. Today, they're number 72, so they're still in that first four out group. But look, if they can get to 8-10 in the Big Ten, that would mean some wins over, again, a Michigan State on the road, a Purdue, somebody along those lines. They would have enough opportunities to get those wins. Do you think – I'm going to put you on the spot right now today. Do you think Penn State gets into the tournament?
I do not. And the reason, I think, you know, first and foremost, as much as I love – John Hara and, you know, the way he plays, you know, you figure they've got Purdue, Iowa, and Minnesota on the schedule. And, you know, they're 4-7, so right there that gets them to 10, and that literally leaves them no margin for error.
Right.
And I didn't even mention they have to play Ohio State. So, I mean, the lack of having a big guy is really, really tough. And, of course, the great irony being is that Ken Palm released this yesterday. Penn State strength of schedule is the most difficult ever this year.
Yeah, that stat has gone back for those who aren't familiar with KenPalm.com. Ranks all kinds of things. He's been keeping track of strength of schedule for the last 20 years. And as Joe mentioned, Penn State's schedule right now, again, with out-of-conference games against VCU, Seton Hall, in-conference games against a ton of top 10, top 15 ranked teams in the Ken Palm or the net, the toughest that Ken Palm has ever had. And yet Penn State is 4-7 in the Big Ten, 7-8 overall. And that's why they're on the bubble, because they've beaten some good teams and they've played very, very difficult teams. I hate to say it. I am with Joe. I don't think that ultimately they will get in. But, look, there is a chance. It's February 9th. Joe, you and I have followed Penn State basketball for a long, long time. Don't you just need a chance on February 9th? Just a chance. Because most years, by this point, there is no chance and hope is gone.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because the metrics love the Nittany Lions. HaslamMetrics.com, Eric Haslam, who's a regular with me on the network, and he's literally an engineer, and he's got an algorithm, and he started to gain traction and to be held in the same regard as a Ken Palm or a Lunardi based on the information that, you know, he generates. And his latest rankings has Penn State number 20 in America. In front of 14-5 Creighton, in front of 8-3 St. Louis, in front of 10-8 Indiana, in front of 15-3 USC, in front of Kansas. The numbers, the metrics absolutely love the Nittany Lions. But more importantly, Corey, they love the Big Ten because Haslametrics.com has Michigan at 3, Illinois at 5, Ohio State at 8, Iowa at 9,
yep.
Wisconsin at 13.
Yeah, and here, but here's the discussion. As we go through this, Joe Lodnowski from the PA Sports Network, we're going to look at this and use all these metrics as favorable toward Penn State because it helps our cause, it helps our discussion locally if Penn State's on the bubble or gets into the tournament. But no issue with Haslam or Ken Palmer. But are the metrics wrong, though? Are we wrong to put too much thought into metrics when they show that a 4-7 team in their league and 7-8 overall is ranked that high? Should that give us pause in looking into metrics and putting too much stock into just playing a bunch of tough people as opposed to winning a ton of games?
Well, the thing is, and again, you know, these metrics, I was just a comm major. Most of the stuff is over my head. But if you know, the thing I think that probably helps out Penn State the most, and, you know, some of it has been window dressing, but they've not been blown out. You know, even their losses are favorable. You know, when you have a four-point loss to Michigan, you know, that Illinois, there's a loss to Illinois that on paper probably looks a little bit better than it was. You know, the loss to Seton Hall, I mean, the loss to Ohio State, they've not gotten run. And I think that, Corey, probably is why.
Yeah, they passed the eye test. They passed the eye test in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
When you're up 8 at Ohio State, Ohio State's the number 4 team in the country. Ohio State is a legit Final Four team. Now, they're not Baylor or Gonzaga, but they're a legit Final Four contender, and Penn State's up on them 8 points. So what you're talking about is Penn State passing the eye test in a lot of these games.
And that's the thing is, though, you know, when you don't have the full non-con, and I think that's where there's going to have to be some give and take. You know, let's say Penn State's 3 games under 500 in conference play, and you know their record then would be what would their overall record be?
They can't be 3. And as of right now, they play an even number of games. They're going to play 18, so it'd be either be 8-10. Or 7-11. 7-11 is not going to cut it. But 8-10 in the league with all those metrics you're talking about, that probably does it.
But let me ask you this though: if they're 7-11, is there some compensation that their overall record? You know, assuming they go 7-11 in the most difficult league, I think you know mathematically maybe ever. You know, maybe the 09 Big East would be more difficult. But, it, you know, do they get the benefit of the doubt that they would have ordinarily won non-conference games?
I see what you're saying.
What they were able to do in league play.
I just don't – yeah, you're right. I don't think so. Because they not only would they be 7-11 in the Big Ten, they'd be under 500 overall. And you're not going to take an at-large bid that's under 500, even if they were on the bubble. But your point is a good one. Do we assume that they would have had – 6 more. Instead of looking at what would the numbers be, instead of looking at 10-12 overall, do we assume that they would have had 7 or 8 more non-conference wins, which would have made them 19-12? Is what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're 19-12. You've got the non-conference win over VCU. You've got the non-conference win over Virginia Tech, and you mustered, you know, 7 conference wins. And I don't know where they're, you know. Again, they weren't playing Baylor and Gonzaga in the non-conference, so I don't know if they would still have, you know, be the beneficiary of the strength of schedule number. But again, you know, it's an unprecedented year, but all of the metrics absolutely love the Big Ten. And, you know, I think by rule, they still need to come up with 68 teams.
Yeah.
So, if Penn State has 7 wins, in the Big Ten, and you know if you look at you know, where the next cut line is going to be, and you know like not to pick on Duke, but you know it's fun. Let's pick on Duke. You know they're 5-5, and they are mid pack. They're 500 on the year, and they don't have any wins of consequence to speak of. So like is there? I mean is it resume or is it simply record? Because in years gone by, resume has meant way more than record.
And that's where, and, you know, you, everything you're saying is true. I we couldn't agree more. Joe Lodnoski from the PA Sports Network. I just don't think 7-11 is the number that would do it. 8-10 would be the number. Because, again, you're still talking a losing record. But 8-10 would be a 4-3 finish. And in that 4-3 finish, as we mentioned earlier, at least one or two of those wins would be over the likes of a Purdue, a Minnesota, an Iowa, or an Ohio State. You would presumably have to win at least a couple of those games to get to 8-7. And as of right now today, as of right now, the resume isn't quite good enough, according to Joe Lunardi. They're just on the outside. But if they can get to 8-10, I think they're going to get in, but they would be in that one of those first four games as like the last four teams in.
Well, I agree with you in that regard, but I think they're going to have to clip either Iowa or Ohio State to ensure that happens.
Could be, yeah.
I don't think they can just beat Maryland. I mean, Minnesota is okay. Purdue is probably living more on name than they are, you know. Actually, I mean, they're not that good.
No.
You know, Penn State does not have that win.
Let's break it down. Let's break it down. They've got Michigan State. If they win that, they're 5-7. Nebraska's next. They're horrendous. That's 6-7. So you've won two games, but you haven't beaten anybody of consequence, is what Joe's saying. Then you've got Ohio State and Iowa. You lose those. Now you're 6-9. And if you're going to get two more wins out of three, it's either Purdue, Minnesota, or Maryland. And again, what you're saying is those are teams that are very much, you know, average in a lot of ways themselves. So if you don't beat Iowa or Ohio State and you finish 8-10, yeah, there's still going to be work to be done. But I think if they get at least one more win in the Big Ten tournament, because if they go 8-10 and then lose in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, well, now you're 8-11. If you go 1-1 in the Big Ten tournament, now you're 9-11. If you go 2-1 in the Big Ten tournament, now you're 10 and 11, that would be fantastic. If you go 8-10 and then 2, that's a way that you could actually get in if you could be two wins in the Big Ten tournament. So at least there's a path out there.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, so they, you know, they gave one to Ohio State,
yeah,
which would have been the signature win. They
crushing.
Gave that game away. But let's say they beat Ohio State, for instance. I think that's more likely because they don't – I mean, John Herrick, God bless him, is not equipped to hold Garza in check. But let's say they clip Ohio State. And when you're in the selection committee room and, you know, they're 1-1 against Ohio State, let's say they beat them by 3,
mm-hmm,
or they beat them by 5, or they beat them by 6, and they're going to say, yeah, they played 2 games, and they've outscored them by 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
I think something like that would really, really boost their resume in terms of splitting hairs with some, you know, a like team. But again, they love the Big Ten. The numbers reflect that. All the bracketologists, you know, have, you know, the potential for record numbers for Big Ten teams. And let's be honest, outside of Nebraska, everybody in the Big Ten is good.
Yeah, even Northwestern. All right, so as Joe mentioned earlier, Michigan State is favored by 4. Who are you picking?
You know what? I am going to pick the Nittany Lions, based on the fact that I think there's a lot to build on from some wins that they've had when they've not been good. And, you know, this is not a Michigan team that we're – or a Michigan State team that we're accustomed to. So I don't think they're going to want to go. You know, the win over Maryland was gouge your eyes out bad, right? But historically, that's a game that they lose, you know. So, you know, I think they have to look on, you know, Wisconsin. You know, they've been really good in their last 4 games. You know, going to Wisconsin, the Kohl Center is still no joke. They won a game they should, you know, they have not won. And I think they probably understand the significance of it. I mean, this is a must win. If there is, you know, this is a survive and advance type model, because I think they probably know in their heart of hearts, if they lose at Michigan State, then they're almost, you know, pigeonholed to where they have to beat Ohio State and Iowa.
Yeah, and you can't lose tonight. This is even in a road game against Sparty, which has been to 22 consecutive NCAA tournaments, and that streak is very much on the line. This is a game you got to have. This is not, folks. It's hard to say. This is just not a very good Michigan State team. So I'm going to pick Penn State as well. I think Penn State's going to come out and play pretty well in the first half of that defense. Michigan State's not a good offensive team. It's not your traditional, phenomenal rebounding Michigan State team. So Joe and I are in agreement. We're both taking Penn State tonight. How about that?
And I look, Myron Jones is due to break out. Dick Girardi told me in the beginning of the year, you know, he's got the ability to be an all-conference player. I agree with him. I think he has the ability. But he's been silent. He's been inconsistent. And you just have to wonder, national TV stage, you know, ESPN2, you know, can Myron Jones pick him up? Because that's what you need. I mean, you need somebody to wow you. And, you know, Myron Jones is long overdue, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. They're very inconsistent. Him, Seth Lundy. I really like Isaiah Brockington. But, all right, 7 o'clock tonight, ESPN2. Joe, thank you, buddy.
All right, thank you, Corey.
All right, good stuff.